Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of 90 Day Fiancé. Wait, what happened? I am Kiara. I will be doing this episode solo. Kiana could not join us this week, but she will be back next week, so don't worry. But I did want to wish everyone a happy new year. I hope everybody had a safe, fun time. But other than that, let's get into this week's episode. So let's go ahead and get started with Mike and Natalie this time. Okay, was it just me or did anybody else notice that Mike kind of hesitated to kiss Natalie in the beginning of this episode? I'm sorry, but Mike, if you're really trying to make your relationship work with Natalie, you need to be honest with her and also yourself. If you don't want to kiss her, you need to just say that. What's with all the hesitation, okay? I did also want to bring up Natalie constantly complaining about it being cold in Mike's house. Okay, so on the previous episode, we saw that she was complaining so much about it being cold. And Mike actually said, it's no colder here than it is in the Ukraine. Okay. For some reason, it seems like on this episode, Natalie was acting like the Ukraine was like Australia or something. Like, my guess was acting like it wasn't even that cold in the Ukraine. I just want to know, what is the temperature like there? Does anybody know? Let's be real, Natalie. It's not that damn cold. Okay. Let's move on into talking about how Mike did not buy any food that Natalie wanted to eat. He made her eat French toast, which apparently she doesn't eat anything unhealthy. And Mike sis Natalie went to the fridge and ate a damn carrot. What the fuck? Okay, look. I don't know, Natalie. If she says that she eats healthy, that's fine. But really, Natalie, you're going to just go get a carrot out of the damn fridge and eat it? And then she had like an attitude the whole day. I'm like, yeah, girl, it's because you ate nothing but a carrot for breakfast. But I actually like Natalie, so I won't be too hard on her. But I'm like, girl, that's probably why you're always mad. You need to eat something other than a damn carrot. Okay. Let's talk about when Mike wanted to take Natalie out into the woods to go, like, fishing or whatever. Okay, I'm sorry, Mike. You seem like a great guy, but that is some serial killer shit if I ever heard it. Why the hell are you talking about taking this girl out into the woods? Get a grip, Mike. This is unacceptable, okay? I did notice something weird on this episode, though, and it just seems like they're kind of just tolerating each other. Like, Natalie is upset, you know, Mike doesn't have anything ready for her, the food, the damn heat doesn't work or whatever. Natalie has an attitude, she's like crying all the time. I mean, it seems like at this point they're kind of just tolerating each other. Like, she's there, what else can they do? At this point. But, you know, I did agree with Natalie when she said that she felt like she wasn't a priority because Mike, I felt like he was tripping. He's like showing her around the town and he's like, oh, like, here are these nice restaurants and, oh, we have nice shopping. He's like, this is where I get my haircut. Mike, you should have some real shit planned for Natalie, not just on the first night when she got there. But while you're supposed to be at work all day, he should have had some activities and shit planned for her. But that's just my opinion. I don't know. I felt like he could have done more to show her that he was excited about her coming. He knew how she was. He knew that she would be bored as hell all day while he's at work. Should have had something planned. Get it together, Mike. I also wanted to bring up something, and I'm not trying to be mean, but was it just me or did it seem like Natalie had, like, cotton or something in her mouth on this episode? She always has like this weird way that she talks, but this episode in particular seemed even worse. Like she had something in her mouth whenever she was talking. I don't know. I'm not trying to be mean though. Natalie, you're my girl. Let's move on to a new person that we've seen on this episode, Stephanie, who is with Ryan, who is from Belize, who is also 25 years younger than her. Oh my goodness. Okay, when we first saw Stephanie, she's preparing for her hula hoop competition. Girl, what are you doing? You know, I won't say anything bad about Stephanie because I guess she kind of seems nice, you know. She owns 2 businesses and she has a Maserati. So, I mean, she's doing better than me. So, I won't say anything bad about her. I did think it was interesting, though. Stephanie talked about how she doesn't want kids. And she really never wanted to get married until she met Ryan. And, I mean, she's not old. Let me not say that. But she's older now. So, it's pretty interesting that someone who's in their 20s still would be the guy that she changed her mind on her whole life for. But I did think it was pretty sad. She talked about how she grew up and how sad it was. And that's really what made her never want to get married or have kids. And I mean, I guess Ryan is her knight in shining armor. I did find it funny, though. She calls Ryan her cub. She's the cougar and he's the cub. That's pretty creepy to me. I'm not even gonna lie. I was like, this lady is crazy. Okay, let's talk about the huge thing that was wrong on this episode with Stephanie and Ryan. Okay, Stephanie is trying to call Ryan literally all day. She can't get a hold of him. So what does she decide to do? She decides to call his mom. Oh my gosh. Okay, so she calls Ryan's mom because his mom has 7 kids. So even though Ryan's mom is younger than her, she has more insight on this because she has 7 kids. This seems like a huge red flag to me. Okay, he's already 25 years younger than you, which obviously means that you're old enough to be his mom. You calling his actual mom is basically like you are treating him like you're his mom. Like he's your damn kid. Stephanie, if that's not a red flag, I don't know what is. He's young. He's in his 20s. You know he has his phone on him constantly. If you can't get in contact with him and have to call his mom, red flag alert. Come on, Stephanie. Okay. So she finally gets in contact with Ryan. And he says the reason why he hasn't contacted her all day is because his friend wanted him to make rice. So he had to go fishing. Okay, I just want to insert that meme with the guy. I think he's a basketball player and he has like the question marks around him and he's looking like, what? He can't contact you. His friend wants him to make rice, so he had to go fishing. Okay, let's say that I believe this. You mean to tell me, Ryan, that you cannot even reach out to your girlfriend, to the woman who's sending you all this money, who's taking care of you, to just say hi for the day? I mean, come on, Ryan. Get it together. I'm not going to say that I feel like he's using her for her money because we really haven't seen enough of them on the show yet for me to make that determination. But if he is, he's going out sad. He needs to be catering to this woman who's damn paying for all this shit for him. Am I right? Okay. I wanted to talk about Stephanie's psychic friend. I'm sorry, but I don't know anything about psychics, so I'm not going to say anything bad or anything. But it seems like it's kind of biased if you go to one of your best friends who's a psychic for your psychic reading. Shouldn't you go to somebody that doesn't know anything about your situation so that they can be able to be like objective about the things that are going on? She like goes to her best friend who already knows the ins and outs of the relationship for a reading. It sounds a bit weird, but okay. And her psychic told her some years ago that he had been with his ex or with another girl. I just want to say that the snake that she saw on that card, I feel like it could be the psychic lady, her fucking friend, because I'm sorry, but what does she mean by she saw him with his ex? Get a grip, lady. Okay. Well, let me just say, that's what I thought at first, okay? Let's talk about the real snake in this relationship, which was actually Stephanie, okay? So Stephanie is kind of leading up to this huge thing that she had been keeping from Ryan. Oh my gosh, it's this big secret. I'm not even gonna lie. I felt like they were probably just kind of trying to build, like make it bigger than what it was on the show, the secret that she was keeping. Stephanie revealed that she slept with Ryan's cousin. Oh my gosh, I literally screamed. Literally, I screamed. Y'all, okay, let me just say that they were not trying to make it bigger than what it was. That is a huge deal. And obviously, she hasn't told Ryan yet, so apparently he doesn't know. But who here wants to make a bet that, honestly, Ryan's cousin probably has already told Ryan? Honestly, I'm not even gonna lie, that's what I think. I think that the cousin, honestly, has already told Ryan. Especially if you believe the theory that Ryan is only with her because of the things that she can do for him finance-wise. I think the cousin probably already told him. We'll see. I'm excited to see where this goes next week. Because Stephanie, I mean, this is our first time seeing her, but she did not disappoint. They kept showing her on all those commercials and stuff, but really, she did not disappoint. I was very pleased with this Stephanie and Ryan segment this week. We're going to move on to Brandon and Julia. So this episode was the episode where they're finally going to Brandon's house. You know, they went to DC to pick her up from the airport and everything. They stayed out there for a little while, and now they're finally back at Brandon's house. And when they pulled up, they had a welcome home sign for her. Oh my goodness. I was like, that is so cute. That was really nice of them. I mean, we know his parents are a little overbearing, but, you know, I felt like that was cute. Because I doubt that was Brandon's idea. Let's be real, that was probably his mom's idea to put the sign up. So it was cute. Okay. I felt like Julia actually at first seemed to be really embracing it. You know, she kind of seemed like she had an open mind when they were like going to look at all those damn animals and shit. I thought it was funny though. When they first got there, I mean, they didn't even go into the house first. They're like, okay, let me show you the damn farm and the damn animals and shit. And Brandon actually said something funny. He said that he's 80% sure that they're gonna last because Julia had such an open mind to the damn farm and the animals. I thought it was funny. Okay, can we talk about Julia going into the pig pen with Brandon and she was screaming? Oh my gosh. I felt like that was so me. Like, they're kind of cute, I guess, to look at from afar. But as soon as, like, if you think I'm about to get in the damn pig pen with it, you're sadly mistaken, okay? We talked about Julia having an open mind on the farm. But she actually did say, like, she didn't feel like she was ready to take care of the animals. And I'm gonna say, I don't blame her. We already know Julia is not from a damn farm town. You know, in her home country. She was a go-go dancer. You know, this whole farm life. I would just say, I'm from Alabama and I don't fucking like animals and shit. I don't blame Julia, okay? And she actually said that if she didn't really get used to the life on the farm, that she would just tell him that they would have to move to the city. And that's just that. I want to know why Julia thinks it will be so easy for her to just tell Brandon that they're gonna move to the city and then they're just gonna go. Julia, do you really think that you guys would be living with Brandon's parents if it was just so easy for him to pick up and move? Get a grip, Julia. Let's just talk about how they finally go inside of the house, you know. And they show Julia her room. And let me just say, the first thing I noticed about Julia's room, it looks like a damn storage closet. Like, they just had a storage room and they just put a bed in there and they were like, this will be Julia's room. Okay, I get it. They live with his parents. Beggars cannot be choosers. But really? I mean, they could have damn... I felt like she deserved more than a damn storage closet. And then... the condoms on the nightstand? Why? Why? I guess in the previous episodes, we felt like Brandon's mom was kind of the mastermind behind the separate rooms thing and all that. But this episode actually showed me that it's actually both of his parents. His dad was letting his mom, like, look like the bad guy, I felt, for the first few episodes. But now we see that it's actually both of them. They're both the bad guys. Because this was the episode where Brandon kind of tried to make a joke about him and Julia staying in the same room. Like, here, Dad, I'll just get you drunk and then maybe you'll change your mind. Brandon's dad was not having it. I was like, oh, I don't want to see this guy when he gets really mad. Like, he really put Brandon into his place. And I mean, this is the whole point. This is why if you're bringing somebody over here from another country, you just need to have your own shit. You need to have your own place away from your parents. You need to be able to make your own decisions. Because, I mean, it's never gonna work. It just never is. Especially if your parents have such strong beliefs like Brandon's parents do. Side note. Can we just talk about why there were crickets in the kitchen? Please, somebody let me know. You live on a farm, you have animals outside, I get it. But why the hell do you have crickets in the kitchen? They're not just in the house in some separate room, but in the kitchen where you cook, where you like eat food and shit. And his parents are talking about how... they can't get out of that little container that they're in. That shouldn't even have a top on it. Please. They're probably eating fucking crickets in their damn food. But I digress. Okay, let's go on to my favorite person, Rebecca. Rebecca and Ziad. Okay, I was glad to see them back on this week's episode because they weren't on last week. I was actually pretty sad. I like Rebecca. So on this episode, we finally saw that Zed's case for the visa was approved. Oh my goodness. I was so happy. But I mean, seriously, let's be real. I mean, it was pretty obvious that it was gonna get approved. I mean, they wouldn't be on the show if it didn't get approved. I felt like it was really exciting. It was really nice. But as soon as I remembered the fact that we're moving in with my new fiance's fucking grown-ass daughter and her boyfriend, I felt like my excitement would just go away. I mean, I guess it's exciting because they finally will be able to be together, but I feel like everything would be ruined after I remembered that shit. Okay, so we finally saw Ziad on this episode. I will say Ziad looks like different, like healthier. I don't know if it's because of the haircut or maybe that, you know, 90 Day Fiance money is doing him justice, but he looks better on this season. I don't know. He had a more youthful appearance, I felt like. But when we first saw Ziad, he was buying Rebecca a gift. I was surprised. I was glad. It looked like he was probably using his own money to buy her the gift this time, which was nice because if you guys remember... the last time we saw Rebecca and Ziad on the last season that they were on here, Ziad asked Rebecca for money and went and bought her the engagement ring with her own money. Look, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, get it how you live, I guess. But if he was going to do all that, he could have probably just taken her with him. But anyway, that's beside the point. So, like I said, the visa gets approved on this episode. And oh my goodness, Ziad was actually like also about to leave on this episode too. It was like as soon as they got approved, he's like, okay, I'm out. It was actually pretty sad. They showed his mom and, you know, she was talking about how she's gonna miss him. And it was really sad. She started crying. You know, it's always sad when the person has to leave their family. I don't know. I just felt really bad for his mom. You could tell, like, that's her son. She's gonna miss her baby. It was pretty sad. But I'm excited to see what's gonna happen with Rebecca and Ziad once he gets here and starts living with her daughter and her daughter's boyfriend. I'm excited to see it because I can already tell it's gonna be nothing but drama, and that's what I live for. Let's move on, you guys, to Jovi and Yara. Okay. I just wanted to say that I kind of felt like Yara was being an asshole on this episode. Okay, Yara is talking all this shit about Jovi's furniture in his house. She was calling it ugly. Like, we need to go shopping ASAP because I hate this shit. I was like, damn, girl. It seems like Yara has no filter. Girl, can't you say it a little bit nicer? Even if you do really feel this way, can't you just be like a little bit nicer about things? Okay, so anyway, they go to the furniture store because obviously. And it's funny, Jovi thought that they had just went there to get a mirror for the apartment. And Yara's like, okay, I love this couch and we need this table. And Jovi actually kind of had like a little attitude with her, I felt. He was like, he told her that she needs to learn English because she kept messing up words. Like, he was just being very petty, I felt like. You know, I felt like it was kind of mean because obviously English is her second language, so you don't have to be a butthole, Jovi. And they started arguing all over this damn rug. Over a damn sparkly rug. Okay, Jovi, if you don't like it, that's fine. But I feel like they both made that situation way bigger than it had to be. I did want to give honorable mention, though, to the furniture sales lady at the store. She was like sales lady slash marriage counselor. You know, I totally saw where she was coming from. She said that if Yara was her friend, she would tell her to leave Jovi. Because Jovi really was being a butthole in the store. And then he kept saying it was his apartment. I'm like, okay, Jovi, it became y'all's apartment when you told her to come over here and she moved in with you. You need to cut that my apartment shit out for real. I was totally with the sales lady. So I kind of did feel bad for Yara at that point, but then Yara showed her true colors again, y'all, when she started being a butthole about the furniture again. I kind of felt like, okay, I'm not gonna say it's like okay to be petty, but I did kind of. I did kind of understand why Jovi was being how he was being, because I'm not gonna lie, if somebody was being rude to me about the shit that I had in my house, I would probably be trying to be petty as well. Like, I would probably want to say some stuff that hurts your feelings too, because you're being rude, okay? Unacceptable, Yara. Fucking unacceptable. I wanted to point out when they got home from the furniture store and Jovi, you know, he's like, I need a damn drink. So he goes to get a beer, and it seemed like Jovi's whole mindset changed. After he drank that damn beer, it was like totally new Jovi. And I'm gonna say, Jovi, I am with you on that. After a long day of arguing and being insulted, sometimes you need a damn drink. Personally, I do not drink beer, though, which was what Jovi was drinking. I probably would have needed a shot or two in order to relax. But Jovi, I do not blame you. It was funny, though. He actually became a little bit nicer after he had a drink, which I thought was interesting. You know, I felt like sometimes people get a little bit meaner after they drink. But and then he actually called it their apartment. Like, he said it was our apartment to Yara. But Yara's ass wasn't going for that shit. She was still upset. But she kind of gave in a little bit. And then he, like, took the table that he had in there. And she just kept saying that was stupid and ugly. Which, honestly, would have made me mad all over again. But, you know, it's his life. We'll let him live it. I'm excited to see what happens with them, though, because it's like they have to play tit for tat. Like, they are not going to let the other outdo them at all. So I'm excited to see where they go. Who wants to make a bet on whether or not they last? Is that mean? I'm sorry. Maybe we shouldn't bet on people's relationships. I take it back. Sorry. Okay. You guys, this is it. Our last couple of this week's episode. Andrew and Amira. Before we get into the drama that happened on this week's episode, I did want to point out that I saw somebody on Twitter say that it sounds like she's always asking a question whenever she talks. I will say that I kind of took offense to that because somebody once said that about me, and I did not see it. I feel like she talks normal. That's all I will say. Hopefully, I didn't just point something out for you guys to, like, critique me on, but maybe you guys think it's cute. Who knows? All right, so let's get into the drama. Okay, so before she gets on the plane, she's talking about how she feels like she has to go to Mexico, even though she really didn't want to because of COVID and everything, just because Andrew said that she doesn't really show that she loves him and that she's not showing that she loves him unless she goes. Can we talk about a red flag? Because if there was ever a red flag on this show, it was that. I mean, can anybody else say controlling? Who the hell says that? I mean, it's a pandemic. If she doesn't feel comfortable traveling, can you really blame her? Get out of here. And also, when we speak about red flags, I thought it was interesting that Andrew even was, when he was talking, he said that he hopes that Amira doesn't have any negative thoughts or feelings about the path that they're taking in order to get her to America. That made me feel some type of way because it's kind of basically like he's acknowledging the fact that he is, you know, pressuring her to come when he knows that she didn't feel comfortable. I don't really like that. I mean, we'll see what happens with them. Usually with the couples, I would try to look them up on Instagram or something to see whether or not they're still together. But I didn't do that with Andrew and Amira because I genuinely want to, like, just watch the show and see what happens from there. I'm hoping Amira can kind of see what's going on with their relationship and realize that she can do better because she totally can, but that's just my opinion. I don't mean any offense to Andrew, but I do not like the vibes that he's giving off, not only on this week's episode, but also last week's episode. The biggest, absolute biggest thing happened. He gets to Mexico. Amira actually got into Mexico before him. Oh my gosh. When he lands, he actually contacts Amira's dad, who tells him that Amira got detained in damn Mexico. What the fuck? Y'all, this was all his fault. If they would have just waited, like they should have anyway, I'm sure that there was a way that they could have gotten her damn visa extended due to the damn virus, she would not be detained in Mexico. Oh my goodness. Okay, I'll say this. last week, when we first found out that they were going to Mexico in the first place, well, they were going to go to Mexico and then go to the U.S. from Mexico, I didn't really realize that it was a loophole. I guess I just didn't put two and two together because it just sounded like, oh, well, you know, this is just another option type of thing. Y'all, Andrew literally said that he did his research on the loophole that would take them from Mexico and back into the U.S. What in the world? Where did you do your research? Who the hell told you that this was a good idea? Now Amir's damn detained. You see, this is what happens when you try to, like, take shortcuts and do illegal ass shit. You're fucking, you are not the one that has to pay the consequences. You put other people at risk. And now Amir is detained. What in the world? And he gets to his hotel and he says, oh my gosh, this is the worst day ever. Like, that he's ever had. Really? How do you think Amir feels? I feel like Amir's day was probably a little bit worse than yours, you fucking butthole. I don't know what Andrew was thinking. And poor Amira, it just seemed like she really wanted to go along with what he was doing. I don't know why. I feel really bad for Amira. But, you know, we'll see what happens. They didn't really show much other than that. We just know that she was still detained. Hopefully she's not damn detained anymore, but we'll see. I'm interested to see. That was our last couple. Oh my goodness. I know that this episode was shorter than our other episode, you know, because I'm doing this one alone, but I hope you guys still enjoyed. I still want to tell you guys what I ate during the episode. Okay, so this week I had a seafood boil. I love seafood. And I had crab legs and mussels and shrimp, you know, and all the other stuff that goes in a boil. And it was so good. I really enjoyed it. I almost couldn't even watch the episode because my food was so good. But I know, I don't want to let you guys down. But don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Also follow us on Instagram at 90 Day Fiance. Wait, what? And also you can follow us on Twitter where we'll be live tweeting each and every episode. And the Twitter handle is 90 Day Fiance WWH. And we will see you next week. Thank you for listening.